Mediated Conversation on SAFM.
28 minutes now to 9 the time. Monday morning, time for your first mediated conversation of the week. Over the weekend, the Judicial Service Commission finally finished its process of interviewing and then giving its views on the four candidates to be Chief Justice. In the end, the JSC said its first choice was Judge Mandisa Maya, then Judge Dunstan Mlambo, then Judge Mbuyiseli Madlanga, and finally Judge Raymond Zondo. But you will have seen and heard a huge amount of criticism for the JSC and the way it handled itself. In fact, some legal experts have claimed it should not have delivered a ranking on the candidates at all. There was the way that the Commissioner, Advocate Dahlia Mpofu, brought up claims without evidence against Judge Mlambo, and how the chair of the session, Judge Xolo Phetsa, allowed those claims to be aired for several hours before ruling they could not be admitted into the session at all. Then there was the way different candidates were treated. Some, it appeared, were attacked from the start. Others, it seems, were asked only about their gender. In the end, on Friday night, the EFF leader, Julius Malema, and the Justice Minister, Ronald Lamola, ended up shouting at each other. This was on live radio and TV. So then, what does this tell us about the Judicial Service Commission? Is it doing the job it's supposed to do? And should we look at reforming it completely? First this morning, you'll hear from a former member of the Judicial Service Commission, someone who's played, well, a very important role in our legal system over the years, Advocate Dumisa Insebeza. He's also recently been appointed a judge on the African Court of Human and People's Rights. Then you'll hear from the organisation Judges Matter. Their coordinator is Alison Tilley. She was one of the many people at the Commission's hearings. And finally, Associate Professor of Law at Northwest University, Professor Tumi Musanyani. We'll hear from him. We start then with the advocate. I don't know if I call him advocate or judge, Dumisa Insebeza. Sir, good morning. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, Dumisa Insebeza. Okay, thank you very much for inviting me, Steve.
Thank you, Dumisa. I really appreciate the time. You would have seen the hearings last week. I think you're actually there for some of it. How do you feel?
Yeah, for some of the hearings, yeah. I was there, yes.
How do you feel about how it played out? You'll have heard the criticism. You've been a member. How do you feel about what happened?
Well, this is virgin territory. I think that's the point of departure. Because as you will know, especially for the position of a Chief Justice, in the past, the president of the country, following what I think were the prescripts of the Constitution, used to nominate a candidate and then put the name before the Judicial Service Commission for the commission to interview the candidate for the candidate's fitness and propriety to, you know, to be a judge in the first place. But even more so, you know, for a position of Chief Justiceship. So that was the norm, and that is how it happened with Mandela, with Mbeki, with President Zuma, all of those. That was the method. But this time around, there was, you know, an invitation to the general public to make nominations, and then there were four people who were shortlisted from a huge list. And so this is the first time ever that a position of chief justiceship is a consequence of a process where, you know, nominations were made, and there can only be one chief justice. So it is clear that, you know, whoever is going to be recommended by the JSC must be the person who got the, you know, the top, you know, approval from those who, after deliberations, decided who of the four that they had to interview was the person who should be the Chief Justice. In fact, one of the commissioners seemed to raise the question in the course of you know, putting certain questions to one of the candidates. I don't know who was in the hot seat at the time, but I think Judge President Talese was saying, what are we going to be doing? Are we going to be sending only one name, or are we going to be sending all the names but the names will indicate who got the top marks, and then the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one. So there is a margin, you know, that must be given in comparison, you know, to the old JSC today, because this was something of its, the first of its nature. Were the questions robust, or were the questions rude, or were the questions unfair? Then that's a question that needs to be asked by evaluating. It's a question that must be asked, but it's, the answer must be evaluated in relation to what one uses as the yardstick of what questions are robust and what questions have crossed the line. Those are my initial thoughts about the process.
Sure. I suppose in the end, it comes down to what perhaps happened against Judge Mlambo. And I don't think anyone would want to or should take away anything from Judge Meyer. But we asked Dalia Mpofu, you'll know him, Advocate Mpofu, this morning, why did he put claims to Judge Mlambo with no evidence to back up those claims? He said he was doing it to clear the air. I asked him, why did you do it without giving the judge notice that you were going to do it? And he said that, and I'm going to summarize what he said, I'm not quoting him word for word, he said he had never heard in the JSC that you had to give notice of questions in advance. How do you feel about that whole incident?
Well, I don't know if it is a question of giving a candidate a question. You see, this thing must be looked at, you know, holistically. And this is my take. And I mean, this is my view of things. If there are rumors that are circulating, and it is something that you, as a commissioner or as the JSC, are going to raise as part of an evaluation or an interview process. My sense, and I think this is what we used to do, my sense is that the person is entitled to be told that there are rumors, and these rumors are based on A, B, C, D, if there is any evidence of what they are based on. Or there are unsubstantiated rumors. But we are concerned that these are rumors that may grow fit, and we would like to give you an opportunity to give your side of the story. If you are aware of them, if you are not aware of them, then these are the rumors. Then the candidate would have known ahead of time, what do I do here? Do I take the option of saying, yeah, I'm aware of those rumors and I treat them with the contempt in which they deserve? Or, yes, I am going to be prepared to deal with those rumors when I come before the commission. This entire process of the rumors was complicated by Judge Mlambo saying later on in the interview, if I remember well, yes, no, I've been aware of these rumors. Then the question might well be, if you were aware of these rumors when you were answering your questionnaire, and your questionnaire may have asked, I think the questionnaire used to say, are you aware of anything that may embarrass you or something like that? Then, you know, that would have been the opportunity for him to have said in the questionnaire, yes, I'm aware of certain rumors that are floating around, but my position is A, B, C, and D. But that didn't happen. But so the question is, should there not have been specificity by the JSC, especially if a rumor, which I think on its own admission was not based on any facts, on any affidavit, was just a rumor, was it not incumbent upon the commission to have sent that kind of allegation. Say, there are allegations that are making the rounds. There are rumors about this kind of conduct on your part. It's something that we believe you must clear the air about. When you come here, please come prepared to deal with that. It seems to me, and that's why I've elsewhere said, it looks like it was interviewed by ambush, because, you know, he apparently was not told that this specific rumor, baseless as it is, because it's not founded on any evidence, either by way of affidavit or, you know, by way of written, you know, submissions made by the people who were allegedly harassed, that doesn't seem to have been done. And my sense is that it ought to have been done, because it's a very serious matter to have put to a candidate who was wanting the top position in the judiciary.
There's some people who are saying this morning we should keep politicians away from the Judicial Service Commission. I realise it's a unique body in our system. Should we keep politicians on the JSE? Should we look at another way of appointing judges?
Well, I wouldn't endorse that, because we come from a stage where it used to be the president and the Minister of Justice. They were not even doing it in public. They would, you know, get together and say, we want now the next Chief Justice to be so-and-so and so-and-so. And I think it was an effort to depart from that kind of apartheid manner of appointing judges, let alone a Chief Justice, that, you know, persuaded those who were in the National Assembly and elsewhere to legislate for, in fact, the Constitutional Assembly, because that's where this whole thing about how the process of electing judges, acting judges, and the appointment of a deputy chief justice, appointment of, you know, of the chief justice, the president of the, all those things, the Constitution is detailed as to how it should happen. And I think it was a consequence in that Constitutional Assembly where everybody became satisfied that there must be not only transparency in the way in which judges are appointed, but then there must be a participation by all layers of government. That is why it's not only the ruling party that is, you know, that sits in the JSC. There are also members of opposition parties who are represented. And I think it was, in its conception, I think it was a fair process of arriving at a conclusion that, you know, we need to have the maximum participation by way of also civil society in the manner in which judges are appointed and in the manner in which the Chief Justice is also appointed, hence members of the National Assembly. I personally have never found that it was a mistake that there was this inclusivity of civil society in the process of nominating and the appointment eventually of a judicial officer, let alone a Chief Justice.
Advocate Tumiso Nsebeza, Judge Tumiso Nsebeza. Sir, thank you for your time. I really do appreciate it. Starting your mediated conversation on SAFM today, 14 minutes to 9, talking, of course, about the Judicial Service Commission interviews. The coordinator at Judges Matter is Alison Tilley. Alison, good morning.
Good morning.
How do you feel about how the JSC conducted itself last week?
Well, I think, interestingly, it was President Meyer who said that we need to review everything in relation to a question about revising the structure and functioning of the JSC. She actually said in an interview, I don't want to say anything now, but for the benefit of interested parties who think that we are not listening, you know, this is something we're going to do. And she even said we can't afford to wait. So I think that is something that's pretty encouraging from those of us who are watching this whole process with our, I'm afraid, with our head in our hands a bit.
There was a quote, I think, from one of the candidates in one of the newspapers yesterday saying no matter what happens, they will not go through an interview process like this again. Can you blame candidates for refusing to go through it?
No, I really can't. You know, we're 118 days since we last had a permanent Chief Justice. And I think it's more and more evident the role that the Chief Justice has to play in keeping a body like the JSC together and on track. And they have no criteria going into the session, as Gideon Sebeza pointed out. They didn't appear to have agreed a process. Judge President Tlaletse asked about the process because it apparently hadn't been agreed. The candidates were bombarded with questions, interview by ambush. Advocate Nsebeza said, asked questions about which there were complaints brought. There was nothing in writing. Candidates hadn't had an opportunity to look at them. I think we've really seen why the Chief Justice needs to be a person who commands respect, because that is what we did not have over the last week in the JSC.
We're now presented with a situation where the JSC has said Judge Mandisa Meyer is its preferred candidate. All four of them can legally be appointed. She is obviously a very strong candidate for the position. Other people say this process has tarnished her appointment. What should President Cyril Ramaphosa do?
Well, he should do what he always was going to do, which is to consult. He has consulted the JSC. They've given him their views, and now as the president, he has to make the decision to appoint the best Chief Justice for the country. And that's something that he's obviously, there will be criticism of what he does, partly because that's in the nature of being a president. Everything you do is open to criticism. But at this point, the Constitution requires that he make the appointment. And if he chooses to disregard the JSC's particular approach in this case, he would be entitled to do so.
Would it create a crisis one way or another if he appoints Judge Meyer? Is he appointing a Chief Justice who's the result of a tarnished process, I must hasten to add, through absolutely no fault of her own? If he appointed another judge, Zondo, Judge Mlambo, Judge Madlanga, would that create a crisis because he hasn't accepted the advice of the JSC?
I think it depends what kind of crisis you mean. If it would create a legal crisis, I'm not sure. If it would create a political crisis, almost definitely. But I'm not sure that it would create a crisis so much as simply expose the continuing crisis in South African politics. I mean, the JSC is us, right? It's people who represent South Africa quite broadly, and relationships are fractious. People are angry with each other. There's a lot of shouting. The JSC is in and of itself looks exactly like we do as a society. And I think that what we're coming away from this with is a renewed and sobering concern around the role that people play in things like the appointing of judges and more broadly in politics.
Alison Tilley, thank you, coordinator at the organization Judges Matter. In a moment, Professor Tumi Musanyane on the Judicial Service Commission, 9:09.
Mediated conversation on SAFM.
9:07, the time. Continue your mediated conversation about last week's Judicial Service Commission interviews. Professor Tumi Musanyane is an Associate Professor of Law at the University of North West. Professor, good morning. Thank you for your time.
Good morning, Stephen, and the viewers at home.
The JSC says it wants Judge Mandisa Meyer to be the Chief Justice. Should the President accept that? Should he appoint another candidate? Do you think he should go in a different direction? Where do you stand on all of this after watching what happened last week?
If you look at the entire process, how it unfolded, Steve, there's never been so much, openness or transparency in as far as how the process unfolded. You remember that the president took an unprecedented turn by inviting the public to nominate. Now, the president in any way was not involved in as far as who needs to be considered for the position. But members of the public and organizations are the ones that chose who needs to be there. And the role of the Judicial Service Commission was then to interview, and from the interview itself to expose and determine as to who they believe in ranking the president needs to consider for appointment. Now, the fact that we have now have the first woman as our Chief Justice, it's quite really something that I think we've waited for quite a long time. Whether the process was fair or not, it's something else. But we, at this moment, need to embrace and acknowledge and accept that we have, I think, someone who is not without any controversy, someone who has demonstrated herself to be the competent and capable Chief Justice of South Africa. And the president needs to oblige and recommend or accept the recommendations and consult the political parties in parliament for them to understand that decision.
Do you believe there should be a reform of the Judicial Service Commission?
A reform in the sense of removing certain people or including certain people?
I suppose it would probably have to be that, yeah.
Well, we need to accept at this, you know, 21st century, or that where we are now, that law does not operate in isolation. We need to be mindful of the need to involve other sectors of our society in how we choose people that govern or that administer the law. As previously, it's only what reserved to political, you know, environment where such appointments were made. I don't think that there is a need for reform. Why we need to reform, and perhaps there is quite a strong, you know, view about the involvement of politicians in Judicial Service Commission. I think that is quite really something that we need to welcome. It is not only the ANC, as has been said, it's all political parties that are represented in Parliament. And by so doing, we need to ensure that there is a form of inclusivity. And even if you look at, you know, the manner of questions that come, you know, lawyers know the law very well. They will be able to answer you even in their sleep. But the fact that now we have politicians amongst the mix of people that are likely to pose questions, we have seen honestly how we've realized that we have lawyers that seems to be, you know, blind to the, what the society is all about. Society is not only about the law. Society is not only about, you know, matters being resolved through the law, but lawyers themselves being mindful of the law that they apply. To whom does that law apply and how it needs to be applied? It's said that we find during the interviews themselves, you know, as transparent as they are, we were able to see that some lawyers have no interest in transformation or even in the language itself, that, you know, you are adjudicating people of different languages and you are making judgments on those languages, but you have no understanding or a recollection as to what does it feel for one to speak a different language than yours. So politicians there play a crucial role, and the manner in which they are represented is based on, you know, the proportional representation in parliament. I don't think there's anything wrong with the Judicial Service Commission composition. I don't think it should be in any way be, you know, reformed. To what extent, I don't know, but I don't think there's any merit for that to be reformed.
So if we, and I mean, we'll have Judicial Service Commission interviews sort of again pretty quickly, because there are a couple of vacancies in various places. You know, there may soon be one as the President of Supreme Court of Appeal. I think there will be. There, I think, are one, perhaps two at the Constitutional Court already. So then, do you think we're going to have the same kind of thing where the Judicial Service Commission meets, conducts interviews in public, and there's all this controversy one way or another as a result?
We are going to experience quite controversies even going forward. There are two constitutional court positions that are vacant. And the concern that for over 11 years or so, we haven't seen the appointment of white judges. And it's going to be very much interesting, in particular, the kind of questions that we are going to be asked. Not necessarily from the law perspective, but from the understanding of the society that we serve. And unfortunately, we are not going to be comfortable. questions that, you know, the either the members of the public or even the judges themselves are going. But they have to take confidence, you know, us into confidence that they are mindful of the society that we live in and how are they going to be able to accommodate or the addresses, you know, the needs of the society that they serve, not only in terms of the law, but also being mindful of where we live in. The Supreme Court of Appeal as well, the transparency and the openness, the fairness of it, is the fact that we are now all of us able to hear every question that is being asked and the answers that have been, you know, given as well. So it's giving us the opportunity as well to be mindful as to who has been appointed as our judges and how the process did it go for them to be. So it's a good and interesting one in our democracy. But we are seeing all of these things before, unlike before where we've only had that so-and-so has been appointed. Now we are moving into a terrain where somewhere, somehow, we have an opportunity as well to be able to have a voice and opinion about who has been appointed.
I really appreciate the time. Thank you very much indeed, Professor Tumi Musanyani, the Associate Professor of Law at the University of North West, bringing an end to Mediated Conversation today. My thanks also to the coordinator of Judges Matter, Alison Tillian, starting us off today. The advocate, the judge, Dumisa Ntsebeza, former member of the JSC, played many, many roles in our society. Kathy is up next. We will see you tomorrow from Mdu Stanza, Zelma Joey, myself. Look after yourself. You're the SFM leading the conversation, 9 o'clock.